You'd open your Bibles, please, to Amos chapter 5 as we continue on through this book of Amos. We'll be looking today at the entire fifth chapter, and that will be our scripture reading today. So follow along as I read God's inspired word, Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this word, which I take up for you as a dirge, O house of Israel. She has fallen, she will not rise again, the virgin Israel. She lies neglected on her land. There's none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city which goes forth 1,000 strong will have 100 left, and the one which goes forth 100 strong will have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live, but do not resort to Bethel, and do not come to Gilgal, nor cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal will certainly go into captivity, and Bethel will come to trouble. Seek the Lord that you may live, or he will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph, and it will consume with none to quench it for Bethel, for those who turn justice into wormwood and cast righteousness down to the earth. He who made the Pleiades and Orion and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. It is he who flashes forth with destruction upon the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity. Therefore, because you impose heavy rent on the poor, and exact a tribute of grain from them, though you have built houses of well-hewn stone, yet you will not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, yet you will not drink their wine. For I know your transgressions are many, and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous and accept bribes, and turn aside the poor in the gate, therefore at such a time the prudent person keeps silent, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said, hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, there is wailing in all the plazas and in all the streets. They say, alas, alas. They also call the farmer to mourning and professional mourners to lamentation. And in all the vineyards there is wailing, because I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it? I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, and I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I'll not even listen to the sound of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you present me with sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried along Succoth, your king, and Kiyun, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will make you go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. What a chapter. What a warning. May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures and the exposition to follow later. Will you join with me, please, in prayer? Our Father, this is obviously a very serious text of inspired scripture, because this passage clearly teaches that it is possible for us to gather together at church to participate in what we would call worship and yet be so corrupt that you refuse to accept it, and you would classify what we do as a bunch of worthless noise. O Lord God of hosts, please keep always that from happening here. Please keep us always gathering together for the right reasons. May we always live our days on this earth going to church to hear your precious word so that we may be transformed by it. And certainly, Lord, we're living in evil and frightening times. Our world is being led by leaders who've lost their way. They don't seem to know your word. They certainly don't follow it if they do. We have diseases that are spreading, like this Mideast respiratory disease that's killing people. Doctors can't stop it. Deadly fires burning in Texas and California, floods in Bosnia, violence in India, China, Nigeria, North Korea, Benghazi. And the only reality that can give us any hope, the only thought that can keep us sane and stable, is that you are the sovereign God, and you are still controlling this world and everything in it. Help us to realize the seriousness of the hour. Help us to focus our attention on carefully understanding your precious word so that we may make adjustments in our life and be pleasing to thee. I pray that this service today will be used by you to help accomplish that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to the 5th chapter of the book of Amos. I'm sure if you were to talk to most people and ask them, what do you think about religion? Probably most people would say, well, religion's good. It's nice for people to have their beliefs and their places of worship. I'm sure even most political leaders of the world would conclude basically that. I'm also sure if you went to most churches and asked, what do you think about the church and all the modern stuff that's happening in the church? Like the music, probably most would say, we think it's great. People seem to like it. It brings the young crowd in. Seems to be a good time for everyone. Numbers appear to be good. You can't argue with numbers. After all, the end seems to justify the means. Just recently, a person from another church told me, we've seen more people coming to church since we put a drum set on the platform. Most people like the idea. Oh, there are a few old-timers. They don't think it's right, but they can't argue with the fact that more people are showing up. In fact, I know of one person who actually protested drums on the platform. They said, you need to find another church. I wonder what the answer would be if we were to ask God. I wonder what God would say to all of this religious stuff that's taking place that's really not being built on a foundation of careful understanding of the scriptures. What do you think God would say if we ask him, what do you think about these churches that are bringing in the people with their music and their lack of careful commitment to serious exposition of the Word of God? Well, you get the answer to that question right here in Amos. Amos chapter 5, specifically verse 21, God says, I hate it. I hate it. In fact, in verse 1, he challenges people, hear the word. That's not why they were going to their worship services. They weren't going to their worship services that featured a lot of hearing the word. It featured a lot of music. It had a lot of music that would be called good. It had music that entertained, which God says, you know what that is to me? It's a bunch of noise. It's just noise. And what God says to this group of religious people, who, by the way, were his own people, who had all of these religious services, he said, I want you to know, I hate it, I reject it. Because you're really not going there because you want to know me through my word. That's not the reason you're going to your places of worship. And I hate everything you're doing. Now, most people don't like that word hate. I was teaching in Pocatello on the attributes of God one time, and I was talking about the attribute of hate. You can't get around it because God presents that about himself in the scriptures. He says there are certain things that he hates. And I actually had some people come to my office and said, we don't like that idea of hate. And I opened my Bible to Proverbs 6. These six things are an abomination to the Lord. Seven things God hates. And they actually threw the Bible down. Most people don't want to think of a God who could hate things because most people don't want to face the possibility that God may not be feeling so positive about us. That was precisely the problem that existed in Israel back in the days of Amos. Well, the problem back in Amos's day was not lack of worship. No, the people regularly went to their places of worship. They had elaborate places of worship. The problem was a lack of commitment to actually hear the scriptures. A problem was actually not listening to the Word of God so they could apply it to the life. So what Amos says in this fifth chapter is, you need to know that God hates any religion. He hates any church that isn't focused on carefully understanding and applying His Word. And if His own people do not get away from those places, He will ultimately target them and send a series of negative judgments against them. You cannot help, when you read this fifth chapter, but keep seeing that Amos challenges the people, seek the Lord. He challenges people going to worship services, seek the Lord. Because these people weren't going to worship services for that reason. They weren't going there to seek a real relationship with the Lord. And that would be good for us to ask us the question today. Did you come to church today to seek to hear from God? Is that the motivation? You want to hear the Word of God so that you can apply it to your life. Well, these people in Amos's day were going to worship services for other reasons. They liked their worship. They liked to give their offerings. They liked to parade the fact that they gave their offerings. And they liked the music. They were doing all of this stuff, not interested in a true relationship with God. And Amos says, it's all about to come crashing down. So in this fifth chapter of the book, Amos gives a series of warning messages aimed straight at Israel, straight at God's people. There are seven of them. Message number one, my own people are dead. He says in verse 1, hear this word which I take up for you as a dirge. I like what one commentator said about this. What we have here is the autopsy of a dead faith. Amos says to Israel, I'm taking up this thing that I'm about to say to you as a dirge, and that particular Hebrew word dirge, kana, is one that means I'm taking up a funeral lament over you because you're dead. A dirge was some form of verbal mourning over the death of a person or city or nation, and it's so ironic that Amos begins by saying that to them because Israel's at the peak of her prosperity. Israel is enjoying a good life. Israel is at peace in her land. It's one of those rare times in Israel's history when she has a happy, carefree life. So this must have been a real shock when Amos starts mourning over her like she's dead. In fact, this message is so real that he presents it as if nothing can stop it. It was already done. He basically says, you're dead spiritually. You're about to become dead physically. In verses 2 and 3, Amos describes what's going to happen. Israel thought of herself as a great virgin. You don't expect a young, beautiful virgin to end up dead. She thought of herself as being lily white. She thought of herself as we've got our worship services and we're right with God. We're a pure virgin in the sight of God because we have our festivals. And Amos says, you've neglected the word of God. You've neglected hearing the word and applying the word. And I see you as a dead nation. And what you don't realize is God is about to destroy you, 90% of you. I don't care if you have a military of 1,000 or 100. Only 10% are going to survive. In other words, God says, I'm pronouncing a death sentence on you religious people who are my people because you don't want to hear my word. And about 40 years after Amos made this prediction, the Assyrians invaded Israel and only a handful survived. Finley says, the national existence came to an end. Now, most people who go to church don't want to think that God could ever do anything like that to His own people. Most people who go to church don't ever want to believe God would target them for premature death. And most people would say, and after all, dispensationally speaking, this is Old Testament stuff. But I remind us all of the words of the Apostle John, the beloved apostle of Jesus Christ, who said there is a sin that leads to death. I remind us all of the Apostle Paul who, addressing the church of Corinth, said some of those people were dead because of judgment. And of the words of Jesus Christ who addressed the church of Thyatira, and he said, if people don't start lining up their lives with my word, I'll start killing people. If God's people don't get serious about him and his word, he's only going to put up with that for so long. And then he will target his own people for judgment. I don't care how much religious stuff we're involved in. If we start moving away from a true focus on the Word of God and applying it to our lives, God will judge His own people. That's true for any nation. It's true for any theological institution. It's true for any church and for any individual. He can shut the life down. He can bring it to a stop. And Amos warns that's what he's going to do to Israel. Which brings us to the second warning. Amos says God's people worshipped at all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways, verses 4 and 5. Now, after giving this death dirge, after pronouncing this serious negative judgment on Israel, he says in verse 4, there's still time to seek the Lord. There's still time to hear the word. There's still time to readjust and get our focus back on the word of God and applying it to our lives. And God calls his people to respond, seek me that you may live. But he says, if you're going to do that, you can't go to those places of worship you've been going because I don't accept what they're doing. I don't even honor them as being true places of worship. Dr. Warren Wiersbe told an interesting story from his years of speaking at Bible conferences. He said often he would run into people who would go to these Bible conferences. He said some of them were in beautiful mountain settings. Some of them were in beautiful lake settings. He said, I used to listen to these people, and they actually thought because they're going to this beautiful place that somehow this was going to be really something dynamic in their relationship with God. And he said, what I concluded is a lot of these people go to this stuff, but they're not seeking God. They seek a nice place. They seek a good experience. They seek the beauty of nature, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of that, but they're not really seeking the word of God so they can get serious about God. And in verse 5, Amos lists a series of places that these people typically were going for their worship services. They were going to Bethel and Gilgal and Beersheba. Bethel was located just north of Jerusalem, Gilgal also north of Jerusalem in Israel, Beersheba was south of Jerusalem in Judah. So you have this conglomeration of places where these people can go to gather together to what they would call their worship services, and they loved it. They loved to go to these places. But the place that God said you're supposed to go is Jerusalem. You're supposed to go there and you're supposed to hear my word. But these people had lots of money, so they invented their own places. They invented their own forms of worship. And God says, as it were, if you're going to seek me, you're going to have to leave your church. If you're going to really seek me, you're going to have to leave the place where you've been going, where they're playing worship. And you're going to have to actually go to some place where you're really taught. Now, it would take real humility and real dedication to the scriptures to leave your place of worship, to go someplace where the scriptures were carefully taught, because at your place of worship, your family's there, and your friends are there, and they go to those places. You'd have to swallow a lot of pride if you really wanted the word of God, and God says, I won't accept your worship going to the places where you go. In fact, in verse 6, Amos says, seek the Lord, because if you don't, he'll bring the house of Joseph down. And of course, he's using that metaphorically to refer to Israel in the north, and particularly the sons of Joseph in the distribution of land. Manasseh and Ephraim were housing themselves in some of the plushest land in the nation Israel. And these people were going from those places to these other areas of worship. And God says, if you don't get out of those places, you're going to reap my judgment. You know, there are people who are going to their churches and they are not carefully being taught the scriptures, and they know it. They know they're not carefully being taught the scriptures. Well, our family goes there. After all, our friends are there. We don't want to leave. It's such an enjoyable experience. The counsel that Amos gave to the nation Israel in a backdrop just like that is, get out of there. Don't go there anymore. You go to a place where the word of God is carefully taught because you need to apply that to your life, or else you're moving in a way that's very dangerous. Now, it takes real humility and a real desire to want to know the word of God to do that. Several years ago, there was a man, I was doing a lecture series, and he waited until after this particular lecture was over, And he waited behind to talk with me, and he said, "Listen, I want to know if you know of a church that carefully teaches the scriptures just as you go through them verse by verse like you're doing here at this lecture series." I said, "Where do you live?" He said, "I live in Dallas, Texas." I said, "Sure I do. I know some good churches in Dallas, Texas. You ought to go and search out. There's Dr. Swindoll's church, Stonebriar. They're in Frisco. You ought to go there. You ought to go to Believer's Chapel, Dan Duncan in Dallas, or Schofield Memorial Church in Dallas." I said, "All of those would be great churches where they carefully teach the Word of God." As I talked with this guy, it became pretty clear he wasn't interested in leaving his church. He didn't want to hear that. Because his family, and he starts talking about my family, goes to this church. I said, "Do you want the word? Get out of there." That's exactly what Amos said to Israel. His third warning message is Amos reminds them that God's the one with all sovereign power to do any destructive thing he wants. In verses 8 and 9, Amos was a sheep herder. He spent a great deal of time in the outdoors. He wanted to remind God's people, God is the one with all power in heaven and all power on earth, and he can use all that power to cause things to cave in. And there are four realities that he brings out to the nation Israel. He's in charge over the constellations in the sky and the seasons of the earth. Now, the constellation of Pleiades is a constellation that shows up in the spring. It's those seven bright stars that show up in the sky. The constellation of Orion is a constellation that shows up typically signaling the return of winter. And basically, Amos brings this up and he says, "I want you to understand something. You people are getting all fuzzy. It's like you're trusting in stars and horoscopes when you don't realize God's the one who put them there." Secondly, he says God's sovereign over light and darkness. And he uses a word there for darkness, the blackest darkness. God's the one who causes the light to shine. He can cause that light to go off in a hurry. He can cause dark things to hit a life in a heartbeat. Thirdly, God is sovereign over all uses of water. And he's talking here about that flood. I mean, when you read what he says there in verse 8, it's pretty clear. He's the one who pours out water on the surface of the earth. He did it at the flood. And then he follows that up by saying he's in charge of all destruction that comes on anyone. Verse 9, he flashes forth with destruction upon the strong. See, this is what people don't realize. What appears to man to be a great catastrophe can be a just judgment coming right out of heaven from the hand of God. And Amos is warning God's people, you need to get back to seeking a relationship with me that is based on hearing and obeying my word, or God can cause your world to be destroyed. Which brings us to his fourth warning. Amos warns God's people that he will judge because his people hate his word and love their sin. Look at verse 10. They hate him who reproves in the gate. They abhor him who speaks with integrity. They didn't want to hear the word of God. In fact, their attitude towards somebody that could actually accurately communicate the word of God is they hated him. If he would stand before them and tell them what the scriptures say, they loathe that kind of man. They actually hate the man of God who had enough integrity to stand before them, look them in the eyes, and tell them what the word of God said. And may I remind us all that these were God's own people who are going to worship services. But they hated anyone that could communicate the word of God that would step on their toes. They hated anybody that could look them in the eyes and say, this is what the word of God says, and brought them under conviction. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted their ears tickled. They wanted their religious experience, but they didn't want the truth. In verse 11, we see why they hated God's word, because they weren't applying it. They were taking advantage of people. Oh, they were taxing people and charging just incredible amounts of money for people's rent. They had their houses, they had their vineyards. And whenever righteous people would appeal, "You're taking advantage of us," they didn't care. They offered bribe money to deprive people from their rights. And those were the people truly right with God. In fact, things were so evil that, according to verse 13, prudent people just kept their mouths shut. Now, I think we're living in a pretty evil time. And a lot of wise people realize this. What's going on politically and nationally is evil. And they're just starting to keep their mouths shut. They see it. They know it. There's not much they can do about it. Problem for a minister, problem for a prophet is you can't keep your mouth shut. Because your job is to accurately communicate the word of God. And what was happening here is things were so corrupt in Israel that bribe money was being taken and things had become evil. And if you don't think we're close to that, then look what happened this week to former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison Tuesday because he has taken bribe money concerning luxury housing in Jerusalem. High political leaders taking bribe money, padding their own pockets at the expense of the people. And God says, I have watched it all. I've counted your transgressions and sins. My grace period is just about over. You need to seek me right now or you will die. Which brings us to the fifth message. Amos challenges God's people, change your ways, verses 14 and 15. Now these verses here are a fascinating series of verses to think through the theology of it, because people don't deserve God's grace, and these people had stockpiled so much sin that they certainly didn't deserve God's grace. But Amos says, if you will hear the word, and if you will purpose to seek to obey the word, if you will start loving what is good, if you will start hating what is evil, perhaps... And I throw in that adverb, perhaps, the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to his own people. Now he identifies God as the Lord God of hosts, which means he controls everything. He controls things in heaven. He controls things on earth. He controls sovereignty over our health. He controls sovereignty over diseases. He controls sovereignty over our economy, even over tragedy. He is the Lord God of hosts. And Amos says, if my people will get serious about my word, and they'll get serious about wanting to apply my word, then perhaps what God will do is he will be gracious to his people. May I say to you this morning, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how deranged your life has become, no matter how weird things are in your world, if you will purpose to take in the scriptures and apply them to your life, perhaps God will be so gracious to you that he'll raise you up and use you in a remarkable way. Now, when any of us sin, God does not owe us grace. In fact, if it's grace, it can't be owed to us. But if his people will actually start obeying the word, God's character is one that does offer grace. So Amos says that to the people of Israel, but then he gives them the sixth warning message. He goes, I know you're not going to change. It's interesting because he begins in verse 16 by saying, therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, there is a wailing in all the plazas and all the streets. They say, alas, alas. In Hebrew, the word alas is ho, ho. It's like the Santa Claus thing. Ho, ho. But this is not some Santa Claus delight. This is divine disaster. God says, because I know you people, I know you like your worship, but you don't like my word, you'll end up wailing and mourning. In fact, he uses language like he used concerning the Egyptian plague there in verse 17. I'll pass through the midst of you. I'm actually going to take, God says, a personal look at every single individual, and every single individual that is not serious about me and my word, I'm going to examine and I'm going to judge. And the people had become delusional in their theological thinking. In verse 18, he said, you people are longing for the day of the Lord. In other words, you people actually think the day of the Lord is going to be a positive day for you. Don't you realize this is going to be a ferocious day against you? This isn't going to be a big positive for you. This will be a day of darkness. This will be a day when you'll be on the run like you would run from a lion or bear. This is a day when you think you'll be so secure in your homes that you own, but what I'll cause is that your world will cave in. You'll go home, put your hand on a wall, and a snake will bite you. And this is clearly a reference to the day of the Lord predictions of the tribulation. Even though things became horrible for Israel during the Assyrian invasion in 722 BC. The fact of the matter is, it'll be far worse in the tribulation. Now, I'm here to tell you that there are many people going to churches today who actually believe when they see Jesus Christ, it's going to be one big positive experience. But may I warn each of us about what the Apostle John said in the church age, in the grace age. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we can face him with confidence or with shame. And there are many believers going to church who are delusional. And they think it's going to be happy hour when they get before the Lord. And they're not going to church because they're serious about the word. And they're going to be ashamed. They're as delusional about the Bema Seat judgment as these people were about the day of the Lord. Which brings us to the seventh message. Amos says God hates their religious activity and does not accept it. Verse 21, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. God said, you think I love your church? I hate it. It's a religious show. It's a religious sham. It's got all its rituals, but it's not based on righteousness, on my word. And God says, I not only don't accept it, I hate it. And he says, you go ahead and gather together because I don't accept it. It doesn't delight me. It's not something that I find favorable. I detest it. And he brings out the fact that they had their music in verse 23. I mean, they had their music. And God said, your music, you can keep. In fact, get it out of my sight. Because to me, it's just a bunch of noise. I don't think it's any coincidence he talks about the stringed instrument of the harp. You've got your stringed instruments that are playing at my worship services, and I want you to understand, I don't like it, I don't listen to it. Why? Because you're not gathering together because you want the word of God. Now, the illustration I'm going to give you, I'm borrowing from a concept I got from Dr. Warren Wiersbe, so I credit him with this, but I'm just putting a different spin on it. One of our Christian great singers of all time, contemporary singers, is Sandy Patty. In fact, if I go to be with the Lord, I'd like that song, We Shall Behold Him, that she sang, sung at my funeral. Now, Sandy Patty is slated to do a concert next Saturday night in Colorado. She's going to appear with the Denver Orchestra. The price of the cheapest ticket that you can still buy is $80 a ticket. If you want to sit near the orchestra pit and be real near the platform, you'll pay nearly $500 per ticket. Now let's say that Sandy Patty appears tonight at Miller Auditorium. I'm sure people would line up to get in. But let's say that someone at the concert said, you know, tonight you can go over to Texas Corners Bible Church and hear the Word of God for free. Do you think we'd have a huge line here? I doubt it. Because people don't typically line up anymore to hear the Word. They weren't doing it in the days of Amos, and they aren't doing it in our day either. And according to verse 24, God says, I want my word understood and applied. I want just decisions. I want you people to take in my word and start flowing out righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And God says, I hate any religion. I hate any church that is not given over to carefully understanding and applying my precious word. There's no real life to it. And he says, all you people have been are a bunch of religious hypocrites. Ever since I delivered you from Egypt, that's what you've been. Oh, you carry around your false deities and images of Succoth and Kagum, but you don't care about my word, and you don't care about listening to my word. Like Gary Cohen said, what they did is they wanted to blend paganism into true worship, and God says, I don't accept that. So he says in verse 27, I've seen enough. I've had enough. I'm going to bring my judgment against you. Your life of ease is just about over. You're going to go into exile beyond Damascus. And clearly, that is a prediction that the Assyrians are coming, and they're going to destroy you, and they're going to take you away. Now, here's the tragedy of the day and age in which you and I live in. Most people are impressed with the big cathedrals and the big pipe organs. Most people are impressed with big choirs, and they're impressed with big bands, and they like the big screens that are put on the TVs. Most people who go to worship services are impressed with the guitars and the drums. I'm here to tell you that means zero to God. Zero to God. This nation of ours presents the idea that it's just good freedom of religion. You have the freedom to worship God any way you want, anything you like. It's a smorgasbord out there. Just go pick something. Well, this book of Amos warns, you better be serious about my word. And you better be serious about going to a place where you hear my word. Or I will examine. I will go and examine every person and use my sovereign power to bring one negative hit against you after another. There are people who are going to churches today. They need to get out of those churches. That's what this book of Amos would tell them. I know we have many visitors here today. If you're not in a church where you're carefully taught the scriptures and that isn't the focus, you need to get out of there. And I know people are going to listen to this worldwide on the web and ultimately on the radio, and they're going to churches, and these people have their services and their formats, and they have their family and they have their friends. If you're not being fed clearly the scriptures, get out of there. God doesn't accept it. Get out before it's too late. Because this book of Amos says God monitors his people. And he doesn't tolerate this kind of thing forever. There's a time limit for a nation. There's a time limit for an individual. And the challenge that Amos gave to Israel is as relevant to us as it was to them. Seek the Lord that you may live. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be like Amos. It's time for some of you to look people square in the eyes and tell them you need to get out of that church. You're not being fed the word of God there. You need to get out of there. Your church is not serious about the word of God. Oh, you've got your bands and you've got your big screens and you've got your music. You need to seek a church where they teach you the scriptures. That's the message Amos gave to Israel. But God does offer grace. And perhaps you're here today and you have sinned greatly against God in your life. God offers you grace. It will not come through religion. It will not come through a denomination. It will not come through works. Seek Christ. Invite Christ into your life and you will be saved. May we pray. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, seek a relationship with God through Christ. That's the only way to have it. Right where you sit, just pray something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner, and right now I invite Christ into my life to be my Savior. God, we thank you so much for your precious word. It's just amazing to me how timely this book of Amos is. It's as relevant for us as it was in 762 BC when Amos wrote it. I pray that we would be people who would invest our time wisely when we go to worship. And I thank you that most of the people of this fellowship do that very thing. They're not here for fuzzy frills. They're here because they love the word. And I pray that would be the focal point of our lives until we get out of this dark, dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.